This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Hour two of the G-Bag Nation, Michael Gallup audio fresh from practice. Then we're going to go around the rim and talk about the latest Mavs rumor-rooski with training camp underway. Preseason starts in a week. General at your service, Eddie's. There's Brian Broaddus. You got Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cup. Of course, Woolchuck and Chio follower here. And Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. Michael Gallup on if he will return this week. And here he is at practice.
We hope so. Been a while, you know, just have another good week, see what it feels like for sure.
What didn't feel right about last week? Or, I mean, did you feel like you were close and just you wanted one more week? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I felt good, obviously, throughout the week, but just a few things I needed to touch up on, feel a little bit more. So.
It was your decision?
Yeah, my decision.
Do you have any limitations at all, or just a mental thing, or just feeling comfortable and confident in everything you do?
No limitations, just got to feel everything, just got to feel it out.
It's so weird. No limitations, 100%, but it was my call. I didn't want to go because I have a few things to figure out. Like, come on, man. You're 96%. You're 92%, right? You're not 100%. If you were, like, you know, then it is mental. Then it's just mental. You know, I need to get over it. I tore my ACL in my last play, and I didn't feel like I was ready to play. That's just a weird answer to me, Brian. What do you think is going on?
No, I mean, I do believe there's times where I would not want him out there if he didn't feel like he was ready to play. That's the thing. I mean, him, Dalton Schwartz, and these guys, if they don't feel like they're ready to play, they're no good to the team. You know, we went through this before with the Jets with Amari Cooper going out there and playing five plays, and then, you know, oh, no, I can't go, the injury's too much. So if it means one more week, it means one more week. And I'm okay with the players saying that. If it's the team trying to push him and say, oh, no, you're healthy, you got to go play, then, you know, I'd have a little bit more of a – I'd have a problem with that. But if the player says that he's not mentally ready and right to go, I think you have to trust him on that.
You do, especially because we're still, like, what, 9 months post-ACL? It's right here in the window where guys are getting ready or they need a couple of more weeks. So I'm willing to. But
yeah,
I do wonder if sometimes you just need a little bit of a push off the ledge to go fly.
It goes back to the whole thing with Jerry and coming out and everybody talking about timetables and, you know, when guys are going to come back, when guys aren't, you know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, Jerry gets reports and stuff like that, but to me, it's like, you know, it should be up to the training staff and to the player. You know, are you ready? I mean, like the whole thing, if they had lost these last two games, you're damn right they're going to be pushing Dak Prescott to come out there and play.
Sure.
You know, it ain't going to be, hey, Dak, you got to get ready. This season, the Eagles look really good, and they're going to run away with this thing if we don't get you back out there soon enough.
Yeah, the urgency is certainly amplified there. I think one thing about Gallup not playing that's made me feel better about that situation is the field condition and seeing Sterling Shepard go down for the year and Odell Beckham Jr. ripping the turf of specifically MetLife Stadium. And knowing that in hindsight, maybe that wasn't the best place for him to have his first game back. And maybe the Cowboys thought about that. And it's, all right, we'd rather have you make your debut at home against Washington next week, where we know that turf's fine, and this isn't the best place for you to do it.
Well, I could say this was on the player. The player admitted that he said, I didn't want to play. I felt like I needed another week. So, yeah, I mean, anytime the player tells me he doesn't want to play, I'm that's fine, cool. I'm not gonna force you to play if you don't feel right to play. You know, they would have cleared him. They cleared Dalton Schwartz. You know, Dalton Schwartz didn't feel like he wanted to play.
I don't like that. I want to have to hold players back. I don't like that because I think you can be worried. I think you can be scared as an injured player, and you need an organization to be like, no, here's what the doctors are saying. You're fine. Here's our strength tests. You're fine. We know you're nervous, but listen, this is what football players do.
Yeah, with Dalton Schwartz, though, he's on that franchise tag contract. he's probably thinking, if
that's a business decision.
If I don't feel right, I'm not going to go out there and play.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's why I would never do a franchise tag with most any player, you know, other than extreme situations. Cut to Michael Gallup on the last remaining hurdle. Here he is, number 13.
This is the hardest thing. You know, it's really just mental now. You know you're healthy. Everything's good. It's just mental now. You got to make sure you feel, you know, like your old self. So getting to that, that's the hardest part. We know what we're doing out there on the football field. It's just, you know, making sure your body's, you know, fully healthy, correct, ready to go.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen until you go out and play and you get hit. And you're like, oh, look at this. I'm fine. And then you're into the game. Okay, and then Michael Gallup on why he felt he was not ready.
I think I just needed a couple more reps, you know. I've only been in pads twice.
Right.
You know, everybody else had a whole training camp and everything like that. So I just needed to feel a couple more things out. That was it.
Is this timeline about what you thought it would be when back in training camp?
Personally, this is really what I was thinking the whole time. I mean, I didn't have any setbacks, nothing like that. This is realistic for me.
Okay. Well, that would make sense that they were talking about him coming back early to throw the other team off, and now we're at the actual deadline the actual game that he had in mind, and here we go. Either way, it's great to have Michael Gallup back. I think this offense has done quite well, you know, without him, but there's no doubt he'll be a boost. Let's talk some basketball here, Chief.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Let's go ahead. Let's cut the lights out. We'll put the kids to bed for that afternoon snooze, or the adults are going all the way around the rim.
Okay. Are we got a little Mavs action going
on?
Yeah. Shams in the Athletic with a report. Three teams are interested in bringing back Jay Crowder: Miami, Boston, and the Mavs. So I think the three other teams that he's played for other than Phoenix are like, yeah, we'd love him back.
All contenders, so it makes sense.
He did not attend Suns Media Day, as they have come to an agreement, like, just do what you want. We don't need you at training camp. We're going to trade you. So he's like, okay, cool. I'll just, you know, work out on my own. Speculation on the Mavs side. I don't know if you guys would think this is a good idea. I love the idea. But reading some Mavs blogs and the comments on Twitter, maybe there wouldn't be enough minutes for him. Because Dorian and Bullock and Kleba and Christian Wood and JaVale McGee, am I forgetting anybody else that's a big around the power forward area? So you add a sixth guy in, six guys for three different positions, plus Dwight Powell. And I don't know, I'm totally okay with Dwight Powell totally being on the bench forever. But I think it does invite some kind of chemistry issue. You know, if you can't get enough minutes for guys that are in career years or guys that were used to a certain role now having their role pulled back, I am sensitive to that. I covered a Trailblazers team that stocked up so many great players and they ended up all hating each other and getting swept in the first round because they just didn't want to be around each other anymore. I don't know if the Mavs are close to that threshold, but I think it is something to keep in mind. Like, can we keep all these guys happy and engaged if we're splitting up their minutes and they all end up with around 20 to 25 minutes instead of the 30 to 35 that they'd like?
I mean, if I'm Reggie Bullock and I'm Dodo, I'm welcoming this because all those guys did was play every single second of playoff basketball. Yeah, because we got nobody else that can defend. Jason Kidd's like, sorry, I can't take you off the court because I don't have any just straight up lockdown defenders outside of you two being the Bang Bros.
The depth was an issue. So now you're talking about, okay, we finally have more depth and you have a guy like Jay Crowder who can play the three, the four. He was keeping Phoenix in those playoff games against Dallas by nailing some threes. He is a lockdown defender as well. I think he's a perfect fit to Luka Doncic. I love the way he plays the game. He's got grit. He's got toughness. He's got championship experience. I think Jay Crowder's just what this team needs. I don't really give a damn about some issues within the locker room. I think that'll straighten itself out. I think this team needs added depth, especially a quality player. This guy's better than some of the dudes that you mentioned. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Absolutely right there. I mean, they'll tell you that they... having guys that are defenders, that are forwards, that, you know, play with toughness and all that Luka, they love those types of guys around Luka. That's something that they would absolutely welcome.
Yeah, I think the great teams stockpile those guys, and on the great teams, the guys like are happy to have maybe a reduced role because they know what the upside of the squad is, Chief.
Yeah, like those guys, like Bullock and Dodo, were having to play too many minutes in the playoffs. So I think this would be good. I'm not worried about who's playing what position. Crowder played a lot of the four with the Suns. Okay, that's fine. Aren't we moving a little bit more positionless anyways?
Sure.
Hey, yeah. Let me just get a bunch of guys who can defend and shoot the three ball, and I'm not really worried about who's the five. five, the four, the three. It doesn't really matter.
Maxie's not going to be upset about it. He's a team guy. I mean, honestly, Dodo seems the same way. I don't think they're going to be too. I don't think they're going to get rubbed the wrong way. Those guys
don't have enough skins on the wall to be upset about anything. Like, if you bring in another superstar that's going to eat up Doncic's amount of time with the ball and he's upset, okay, I will acquiesce. Luka, you can dictate a lot of things here. Like, when you talk about the Portland Trailblazers, they had too many great players. We are not looking at this Mavericks roster right now saying too many great players.
No.
Not even close. We got one great one, and then everybody else, let's play along and play your role. And if that means your role goes from 29 minutes last year to 26 or 24,
yeah,
so be it, brother.
I think it's a bad thing.
The only way I don't want him is if we need those assets to get another ball handler in a trade. Like, I wouldn't pick Crowder over another ball handler, even if he's slightly less of a player. Like, right now, Frank Ntilikina as your third point guard. It's a much bigger need. Chief, what else do we have going on in this rim session?
Okay, so we had our NBA media days, and they were electric, sort of as usual. The NBA players always good for some fun comments and fodder. And one of them is with the Nets, Kevin Durant, and his wanting to break up with the Nets. And then all of a sudden, I guess we'll go ahead and put these pieces back together. We'll try it again. And maybe when you start doing analogies for breakups and stuff, you can start thinking about real relationships and marriages and boyfriends and girlfriends and stuff like that. And maybe this stuff can all work out. Here's his new teammate, Kevin Durant's new teammate with the Nets, Markieff Morris, being asked about the KD breakup, get back together situation. And here's Mr. Morris giving you some life lessons.
Like I said before, you know, Brooklyn was a top team the whole summer. Actually, that was my number one phone call right up until what happened with Kevin. But, you know, man, that's the NBA, man. You break up with a girlfriend, you get back with her. Same shit. Yeah, your differences until you figure it out.
Does it work?
Yeah, I mean, broke up with my wife a couple times. We still married. It works. Sometimes you need space to figure some things out. This shit works, you know. It is what it is.
The bleep works, man, yeah. And maybe it'll work for KD and company. Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes it can force a better understanding.
Yeah. You ever break up with somebody and you stay in the same house?
No, thank goodness.
Oh, y'all ain't broke. Yeah, I ain't in no relationship. I've been in a relationship for 20 damn years, bro. Hey, how you doing? How? Fine. Keep on walking. Excuse me.
Did you pay that water bill?
Yeah. Are you hungry?
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
What's for dinner now? I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, you tell me.
Well, I know what I'm having. I don't know what you're having.
Yeah. Oh, we still broke up then.
That's the one thing about marriage that's really eye-opening, because you do all this dating and you get in these fights and you always know, I can just remove myself from this and it's no problem. Then you get married, you're living together, and all of a sudden it's
becomes expensive.
Gosh dang it. Yeah. I'm mad at you and I can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Where am I going to go?
Yeah, you got a pros and cons list under your bed.
We got to sit here. All we got is a little wall. Exactly.
She doesn't know where it's at. It's right under the shoebox.
Yeah.
You're stupid like your father.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
3 weeks later. My father's a great man. Yeah.
I can make it on $750 a month. Hell, what are you talking about? I'm good.
I don't even need you. Income.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, man, that is
my
real
peace of mind.
Okay, let's see. We also have, speaking of unhappy sort of marriages in the NBA right now, how about DeAndre Ayton and the Suns? Big man doesn't seem too happy.
That's strange going on.
So
right
if you remember, the Mavericks, of course, end the Suns season. It's a disaster, so bad that they have to come out with an apology to their fans because the Mavs tapped that ass.
And their owner at the same time.
Their owner is having his own issues there. Yeah. And then DeAndre Ayton gets sort of called out by Monty Williams. He doesn't play much at all in that game 7 where the Mavs dominate them. Then DeAndre Ayton is a free agent. He signs the offer sheet with Rick Carlisle and the Pacers, and then all of a sudden the Suns have an opportunity to match. They do, and so now you have a situation where DeAndre Ayton signed to be with the Pacers, but he didn't have a choice. The Suns matched it. He's got a weird situation with the head coach Monty Williams where he's telling you right now, he said, I haven't even talked to Monty. I haven't even talked to Monty Williams, my head coach, since that game 7. And he's sitting there at the facility for media days. So that's part of it. But then here is just like a funny interaction that he had with a reporter. And it doesn't sound like DeAndre Ayton is overly excited about the prospects of remaining a Phoenix Sun.
Congratulations on obviously getting the deal. Just maybe your thoughts that now that you got that. Maybe what was your initial reaction once the Suns matched the Pacers offer?
I was happy. It was all done, I guess.
That's it?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think Ayton could be traded this year.
Yeah.
Even though Monty Williams is a great coach, you might have to consider letting him go so you can keep the superstar. Like last year, it kind of made sense to keep pushing with a Chris Paul dominated team. But if he's not MVP form Chris Paul, if he's slowing down at all, you got to break away from that. Trade Paul, fire the coach, keep the big man. He's a rare big man that can pass and score all over the half court. Like you can't let him go over like a real long shot chance to win a championship at this point, or even to retain a coach, even a good coach like Monty Williams.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. In the sport of basketball, like the players matter much more than the coach.
Coach seems to be very interchangeable.
But I love Monty Williams, though, and so it would
He's
be
done
tough
a fantastic job. Right.
Would you say that about your coach then?
About the Mavs?
Yeah. If you're giving me
Jason Kidd made
Luka versus
but
Kidd.
If Luka all of a sudden says, I don't want Jason Kidd, yes, Jason Kidd can go. Luka is not going anywhere, Brian.
But I would not put DeAndre Ayton in the Luka category. Like, it's not as much of an easy answer for
me
with DeAndre
Ayton. No, I was commenting
Ayton
the fact that you guys were saying the coach doesn't matter.
I'm not saying the coach doesn't matter, but it does seem in the NBA, if you have that rare, you know, top player,
yeah,
you're going to side with that player versus the coach.
And I think Ayton's a lot closer to Luka than what the stat line's been saying, because he's just like, oh, do your thing. If you run offense through him, he can pass, he can shoot from the high post, he can put it on the court. Like I think DeAndre Ayton could have MVP type of seasons.
Okay, and if you're in the Suns organization and you feel the way you do, Dawson, about Ayton, then absolutely you take Ayton.
Well, obviously
over
you did.
Williams.
You matched the deal.
Yeah, well, because you can't just let this guy walk out for free. I mean, their plan might still be build him up and trade him at the deadline.
What would they have gotten from the Pacers? I don't remember that.
It was just a restricted offer, so I don't think there's any compensation.
Yeah, it's just you, the Suns,
you
can
just
match
choose not
it.
To
just
match
the match,
it.
The only match. Okay, I was thinking, okay, yeah. All
right. So okay, thank you.
Yeah, no, but just wanted to point out, we make fun of Zion all the time. He looks incredible.
He does.
Yeah,
he
looks amazing.
It's about time you get
his earrings got bigger. Yeah. It's all an illusion. He's just playing us right now. The jewelry's bigger, bro.
Hey, Heady, play to his stylist.
Remote coming Friday, Southern Leisure Spas and Patio on Justin Road in Flower Mound. We're giving away a Kamado Joe Grill and State Fair tickets and all kinds of fun on Friday. And then the Flagtober Tour Day DFW is this weekend. You can get it at 105throughthefan.com. We'll see you at a Twin Peaks near you. Okay, Wooly Bully's Top 10 is actually coming up next. Where are we headed with that, sir?
It is National Drink Beer Day. I've got the top 10 most popular beers in America. And what the hell is McDonald's doing? I'll tell you about that next on The Fan.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Nation. It's time now for Wooly Bully's Top 10. We usually do it at 420, but today in the 420, we're going to have Cy Young on with us. It'll be outstanding. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels, 214-333-3333. Go to truckwreck.com. Now, here he is, Wolchuk.
Thank you very much, Gavin Dawson. Now, I do have the top 10 most popular beers in America. Cheers, everyone.
Hey.
Cheers.
Cheers to you, sir.
It is National Beer Day. We'll get to that in a moment. 877-881-1053. Text in your favorite beer, what you will be drinking today on National Drink Beer Day. Before we get to that, I will have a fun story of what, indeed, McDonald's is doing. But first, I want to play you this audio from the greatest college football game that I've ever witnessed.
Oh, UNT smoking the Razorbacks in Fayetteville.
You're damn right. No, but this would
Tulsa Hurricane game?
It's not,
settle down over there.
It's not hey, be respectful.
This would be the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all. National championship Vince Young scores against the USC Trojans and Omaha Productions. Eli Manning has gotten Vince Young and Matt Leinart back together at the scene of the crime, and they are reliving the 4th-and-5 play where it was 4th and 5, the national championship on the line, and Vince Young goes for the corner, and he's got it. And here's VY and Matt Leinart breaking down the final touchdown that won Texas the 2006 Rose Bowl.
And after a failed 4th down attempt with Heisman winner Reggie Bush mysteriously on the sideline, Vince trailed by 5 with just over 2 minutes remaining.
Vince, you know, 4th quarter, 2 minutes left in the game, y'all are down. Y'all need a touchdown. You know, what did you tell the offense as you went into the huddle?
We've been in those situations before. That team had an identity that we've been through those adversities together. So at that moment, buckle up your chin strap and let's go try to win this ball game.
That's vintage Vince Young. I mean, he did that his whole career. Vince was, I always say now, one of the best college football players of all time. And I don't think there's really a debate.
Thank you, sir.
Let's talk about that 4th and 5. What was the play, and how did it work out? Sorry that you're having to sit through this, Matt.
Yeah. I've seen that play 100 times.
4th and 5, the national championship on the line right here.
They blitzed you. They came after you a little bit.
They dropped the DN.
For the corner, he's got it. Vince Young scores.
It was menu 2 that we call it. The play was, it's a basic class pass play, but, you know, I was kind of looking for David Thomas, and then he blitzed it. He brought everybody, and then Selvin did a really good job of being my 3rd option, and his 3rd option was to get out, and that's what Rucker kind of paid attention to him.
Yeah.
And that hole just opened like the Red Sea.
That game just gives me chills. I mean, I'll go back and rewatch it anytime it's on. You have the crazy, just emotional momentum switches in that game. The Michael Huff stop of Lendale White on 4th and 1. It's like Reggie Bush isn't even on the field. I mean, the amount of talent and NFL players that came from that game, crazy. I think you go to ESPN Plus probably and check that out and watch the full documentary. But an incredible game.
That's sad they had to met Liner just line up and talk about that again.
Yeah. Watching his face, too. That's he's just awful, like, dog. He's cringing.
Yeah.
He's like, ugh. This sucks.
I kind of cringe when I think of that game as well. I didn't have a dog in the fight, but I did have $350 on USC. And I was hanging out at my old in-law's house in Medford, Oregon. And a bunch
Alex
of
Medford, Oregon?
Okay, my wife at the time, her younger cousins were there, right? And I'd been drinking all day and gambling all day. And that was the last $350.
Living like a real man.
Oh, I was having a great time.
I love it because it's not even like a football weekend. Yeah. It was like a Monday.
It's a Monday.
Like gambling on random.
It was the holiday break.
It's a Monday. I'm boozing hard.
Just
carelessly.
Just riding it.
God knows what else I'm doing.
The day earlier, I'd driven like an hour and a half away to go to a casino. Right. So they're like, jeez. When I'm gone, they're talking about like, wow, he's drinking and gambling a lot. And as that game is ending, I'm like, oh, no, I just lost all my money. Right. So the younger cousins thought that meant like every single dime that I had. It was just my account. My Bodog account had gone to 0. Right. Effectively with that final touchdown. So I wake up the next day and they're ready to have like an intervention with me. I'm like, no, I just lost $300. Leave me alone and give me a beer.
Shout out to National Drink a Beer Day.
Yeah.
Very quickly, McDonald's is now selling Happy Meals for adults. So
with
you
beer?
Can
wait, is this where beer comes in?
Relive your childhood. I don't think they're going to add beer, but you can get a Big Mac limited edition Happy Meal or a 10-piece Chicken McNuggets.
What's the toy?
Limited edition Happy Meal. It looks like they've got the mascots as toys. The Hamburglar and whatever the purple dude is. But I'd have zero interest in this. Do you guys?
It's a Big Mac.
Yeah, but I can order the regular Big Mac and not get it in the Happy Meal box.
Yeah, you're
but you get a toy.
Pay it,
I
pay
want a
extra.
Better toy.
You know what? You're right. I'm doing
like
this.
A scratch off or something.
Yeah, give me something like that. I got $20.
I want adult toys.
Yeah, give me adult toys.
Where
McDonald's?
Are the beats?
Okay.
What?
Adult toys?
Yeah. Pause.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
I see what you're doing.
That's
all right.
What they're called, right?
Yeah.
It's an adult Happy Meal. Where are the adult toys?
Yeah. I'm with
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Let's go to baby dolls. All right, here we are. Let's slide into the top 10 here. Cheers, everyone. National Drink a Beer Day. Got a lot of love for Beware of IPAs. We've got Dallas Brewed Manhattan Project Brewing Company. Monkey Golden Belgium is what they'll be sipping on today from the 972.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got?
Modelo bitches from the 610.
Modelo's cool. I like Modelo's.
Modelo's good.
Yeah, I like Modelo's.
Shiner Bock, Blue Moon, Dallas Blonde, More Shiner Love is coming in. Of course, Miller Lite for my guy Eric Chiafalo.
I was going to say,
the deal we got, pretty good.
I don't have a working computer, but if I was imagining the truckwreck.com fan text right now, we'd just be inundated with Miller Lite.
It's, yeah, that's exactly what's happening here.
Swimming in Miller Lite.
A lot of Miller Lite happening, 100%. So text in what you're going to be sipping on today on National Drink a Beer Day.
It's Run Wild from Athletic Brewing Company for me. It's an NAIPA.
I ain't never heard nobody complain.
Horrific. Okay.
Broadus, you did the shoey. Has that had you more of a hankering for some brews lately?
No, I paid my debt to society. I'm back in it.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
my
I'm
guy.
Good to go. But I tell you, if you have to do it, it's not a bad way to go.
No,
really,
it's not.
It wasn't bad.
I think the best thing to do with IPAs is to take the IPA and take a Coors Light or a Miller Light and just mix them half and half. Right? So you take a can and a bottle, you mix them half and half. That way you don't get as much alcohol, but you get the IPA kick.
Wow.
It's nice.
Okay. That is a pro tip if I've ever heard one.
That's right, a guy that drinks on Mondays and gambles on college football.
General Heyday, we're talking, let's say you came out of retirement and you were in your prime again. How many do you think you could put down on a national day like today?
Holiday.
You're going ham.
30.
Like, tis the season.
I drink about 30 beers.
30.
On a big day. On a wake up and drink all day with the buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Freaking animal.
Yeah, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. about.
That's amazing.
And what was the go-to?
That's what Sheryl Crow was singing about you. Billy likes his beer buzz early in the morning.
That's right. Yeah.
The breakfast songs beer, real quick, man. Yeah.
The breakfast. Oh, we're going to breakfast. Hold on. Let me grab a beer.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's not a bad time.
No, but it makes sense that National Beer Day is on Hump Day because there's nothing like that sort of that Hump Day beer as well. You made it through half of the week, and now you can start to taste the weekend. Thirsty Thursday. You're sort of pre-gaming for that Thirsty Thursday beer.
Yes.
So this is this name is very apropos.
Budweiser, what is Miller?
Nope.
No. I'm just trying to get through these drops. I got a whole lot of beer drops.
Oh, I love this guy.
Inundate us with the beer drops on National Drink a Beer Day. Here's America's 10 most popular beers. Number 10, we've got Dos Equis. I really thought it'd be higher than this.
The Dosey-Do.
Because I love Dos Equis.
Yeah, but now we have such a craft beer, highfalutin. The beer drinkers become much more highfalutin these days, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
No question.
So it's the wussification of the beer.
It's very true, but you'll see, like, on the most popular list, it's going to be a lot of general beers here in the top 10. It's not going to be a ton of the, like, specialties.
It drinks pretty good, don't it?
But you're right. Like, that might be a reason. Number 9, Bud Light.
Bud Light. Bud Light. Bud Light. Bud Light.
Number 8, Stella Artois.
Yes, ooh, my baby good. Right there in the glass, son.
Yes.
Yeah, Stella's a
it
sweetheart.
It always looks so sexy.
I love a Stella, dog.
Stella looks hot.
It's the only beer that's got its own glass. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. What's up?
Is that one of those, like, rich poor things where you look classy if you're rich drinking it, and if you're not,
it
you're
does.
Like, what the hell are you doing?
But Stella does look, it looks like a classy beer.
I love it.
And we've gotten that text in quite a bit,
too. I've
been
counting them, too. Who been in my Stellas?
Mr. Jack, who asked you to sponsor this beer?
Well, that's certified as well. Now, you drink the Stellas?
Yeah. You're my Stellas. Yeah,
don't throw in my half of the fridge.
You've been home for 30 minutes.
Damn it.
Number 7, Blue Moon.
You put fruit in that. Why?
Oh, the orange in the Blue Moon is great, dog.
Oh, man.
It is good.
All beer's good.
You pooing on that?
Yeah, when you put food in beer?
Oh, here you go.
Okay, beer cheese, I guess. But... Not putting fruit in a beer, I'm out.
Guy that craps on having a fried egg on a burger.
Wow. I'm out.
Number 6 is Miller.
Really?
Just a champion of beers?
A little low.
Just
champion of beers.
That's a great fishing beer, by the way.
But this is encompassing all the Millers.
So all of a sudden, the Miller Lights become the underrated beer.
It is underrated.
Miller Coors, right?
Miller Lights got a chip on their shoulder after this.
They should. Number 5 is Budweiser.
InBev. InBev Company.
Yeah.
So Budweiser.
Yeah.
Stock. Does that mean we got a lot of, like, NASCAR people voting on this beer right now?
This is America.
That would be Bush.
Oh,
be
there's Bush. There's some areas that just go hard for the regular Budweiser.
Yeah.
Budweiser.
You know, and you visit a certain part of the country, like Florida or Montana, and all of a sudden it's just nothing but regular Budweiser.
The rules to drinking Budweiser is you're not allowed to have all your teeth. Like, you can be, as long as you're just missing one, you're qualified.
Boy, they're going to come see you, bro.
That was Keystone.
They don't ask for your ID. At the clerk, they don't ask your ID. They just say, smile for me, sir.
Says the Miller Lite spokesman.
They're going to come see you, bro.
Says the Miller Lite spokesman over there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, Miller Coors is loving Chiefs deal right now.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Let's double up on this guy, Chiafalo. Jim, have you heard this?
Number four.
I'll tell you what, we need to find this Chiafalo kid. He's doing a great job for us.
He's killing him.
In case they haven't heard my life.
Budweiser sending the Clydesdales to just kick him right in the face. Number four is Sam Adams.
Samuel.
Your cousin from Boston. He's going to just crap on everything.
I think the commercials are better than the beer.
I agree 100%. All right. Number three, Corona.
It's cool. I like a Corona.
Yeah. I like it more now that I see Snoop and all these commercials.
Snoop doesn't drink, by the way.
Yeah.
This man has a hit called Gin and Juice, which is a classic. He doesn't drink.
No, that's a thing. There's people that promote the product that they don't like.
I'm getting tired of this. That's happened a lot in the weed game, too. Guy just jumped out of nowhere. I got my own weed brand. Doesn't smoke weed. I'm tired of this.
It ain't right.
I'm sick of it.
Tom Brady and Subway.
Yeah. What? Of course. Tom Brady hasn't had a solid crap in 10 years. He ain't taking a Subway. All that juice in his diet.
Number two is Heineken.
All right.
And number one, the most popular beer in America on National Drink a Beer Day. I found this rather surprising, but I do love it come St. Patrick's Day, especially in a car bomb. Guinness.
Ooh, that's a very good beer, man.
Destroy your life drinking that.
Shout out to the Chimay Grand Reserve as well. Very classy.
Chimay.
I like the 940. If your girl orders a Budweiser, run. I never knew those things, but you do now. You learn something new every day. All right. Thank you, Woolchuck.
Yep. My pleasure.
When we return here in the G-Bag Nation, it is time for the most controversial segment on The Fan, Restroom Revelations with Eric Chiafalo. Where are we headed today, sir?
When porch pirates become poo pirates, a PSA to all online shoppers. That's next.
Just over 2 days remaining in the month of September. That means Flagtober starts Saturday. Get on to 105thethefan.com/Flagtober for our tour day DFW schedule. We want to give you a flag fellowship and watch some football this weekend at a Twin Peaks near you. We're going to be at all 10 of them. Here is Chiafalo now with some restroom revelations.
Yes, sir. If you are an online shopper approaching the holiday season, if you are someone that deals with the porch pirates, okay, this is just a PSA to you. Do not retaliate. These people are like, they are like, the porch pirate is not built to take the L. He always comes out on top. And there's an Austin neighborhood that has experienced this in the worst way possible. We'll get to that story, by the way.
We'll get to that story. She chased after one of these guys, and she's injured now.
Okay, well, after this, we will explain. I don't know if they are going to get through this in this Austin suburb. Yes, Austin, Texas, home of the rabid porch pirate, I guess is what we're dealing with. And then it has evolved into a bit of a poo war situation.
Yep.
So here is local Austin news reporting on this very important story.
A mother fed up with porch pirates fights back. And now police are investigating after thieves not only swiped some packages in South Austin, but they vandalized that woman's home.
It's officially fall in Central Texas, which, well, doesn't mean a ton because it's still 90 plus degrees outside. But people do now have holidays on the mind. For Gabriella, a mom, in this case, it's not a good thing.
We need to stop this now, especially before the holidays get started.
This is the this she's talking about.
Hitting in the middle of the day, in the middle of the night, same car, same people.
She says at least 12 neighbors have told her the same people have hit their homes.
As a community, we are frustrated.
Nearby, Brittany Walker dealt with the same thing.
I see somebody with the big package. I just ran outside and I just said, I have a baby. And they look at me and they just left.
While Walker yelled, Gabriella put her kids' dirty diapers in a box on the porch.
And when they discovered it was a bunch of dirty diapers, they came back and smeared those diapers on our front door.
At Gabriella's, the diaper debacle got worse.
They came back with a giant bag of cow manure, and so it was a really long day of cleaning a lot of cow feces off of our house that day. Mm.
But she says it was worth it.
But it's a tool for me. I have a toddler, I work full-time, and I have another one on the way, so I use this as a survival tool.
There has to be an end. It's just not okay in my book anymore.
Brianna Hollis, KXAN News.
The survivor tool there is the dirty diapers from her toddler, by the way, that she was referencing.
Yeah.
Now, if you didn't get that, so they have these porch pirates. They're like, okay, we're going to set these guys up. We're going to put a fake package out there. We're going to fill it with a bunch of grumpered up diapers from our baby. They're going to steal it. Ha ha ha. Joke's on them. Porch pirates say, no, we don't take the L's over here. Okay. We aren't Joe Pesci and Marv from Home Alone. Okay, we are the real deal. We are professionals. They come back, they use those diapers, and they smear them on the house. Yeah. And then they take it to the next level. That's not it for them. It's not, ha-ha, our work's done here. It's, we're just getting started. Then they go to the local, you know, farmer's place, bag up a bunch of horses.
The local farmer's place.
And
they're selling the poo.
They go hunting for horse poo, and they bring it back, and then even poo the house up even more.
Wow.
This is like insane, diabolical porch pirating where, like, they are not here to lose. Like, I don't know if we should just acquiesce, but clearly this tactic of retaliation did not work. I don't know what you do as a homeowner. I'm just an apartment guy, okay? So I can't really speak on this. But if you're getting popped for packages on your own front door, you got your little Ring cam, and it's doing nothing for you because all it's doing is showing that it's being stolen, but it's not like reaching out and grabbing them and saying, no, we're detaining you. I don't know how you do this. I don't know how you defend yourself.
Hey, what's that stuff they have for, like, if you steal money and it just explodes and you turn blue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Camera on that and the blue, because you have to go, you got to clean that off somehow,
yeah,
right?
That's a pain, least favorite color.
Yeah, it's a pain.
Well, I think you seriously consider setting up a trap and shooting them. Once they've smeared poop on your house, I don't think that's going too far.
To shoot them?
I think I'd probably set up a trap and shoot them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we're murdering.
Shoot them?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe a bear trap when, you know, the ankle gets stuck in.
Okay. No, I like that better. Yeah. Now, another thing you could do, which would be less violent and maybe less rewarding, is just to put like a cage on your patio and have it opened. And then when the box gets put in there, then the UPS guy or whatever closes the door and it locks behind it. You know what I'm saying? So you have a key, you put the cage open. Yeah, if you're like a victim of constant porch pirating and you don't want to shoot somebody or leave a bear trap, you know, because a kid could trip on the bear trap or something like that.
Oh, yeah, poor kids.
Collateral damage.
Well, I forget the kids.
I like that.
But I think when your home gets stolen and then they come back and make it personal like that, now you've opened yourself up to some real revenge-level violence.
No, I would have been so angry where I probably would have resorted to the violence.
Yeah.
I'd have taken a bat.
You know, the first time I'm going with the cage, but maybe they pick the lock on the cage or they weld the cage open, if that's a thing. You know, they weld cut it or whatever that
is. Yeah, I mean, it seems like these people are relentless and they take their work seriously.
They do.
Like, they're not here to half-ass it. And there is some respect to be had for that. Hey, these guys are serious about their work.
I like the human pinata idea. We set up a booby trap and now they're dangling and... You know,
I mean, these guys are like the Heisenbergs of porch pirating is what you're looking at.
Yes.
They will stop at nothing.
They are.
Yeah. So I think you got to match it or completely avoid it. But you can't go half-assed with some baby diapers.
Well, they went full-ass is what they did. and even that backfired.
They went out the ass.
I mean, they had no intentions of half-assing anything. They go full-ass on it, and then it backfires in a massive way.
I can't believe they went and bought cow poo. Or, I don't know, or at least
they definitely didn't buy it. Definitely didn't buy it.
I mean, I wouldn't even be touching the cow poo regardless.
It's not that bad. Cow poo ain't that bad. It's not like picking up dog poo. That's really gross. Cow poo ain't up with a bunch of chewed up straw.
Okay.
Yeah.
It ain't bad. But that dog poo's gross.
Yeah, the dog poo's worse.
Close to humans.
And it ain't bad, Lucius, until it's smeared all over your house. Now it's okay. Now this is bad. And she got emotional there when she was talking about the entire day worth of having to hose down her house there of all the manure. But that's a nightmare scenario.
It's good it's good for her grass, by the way.
Yeah, it is good fertilizer.
It is good fertilizer.
If you're going glass half full here, they just helped your lawn, okay?
This is the earth.
I mean, your house is unlivable, but your lawn is going to benefit greatly.
As we head into the winter months. St. Augustine is going crazy right now.
So, but we do have to understand, like, what the DNA is now of these porch pirates. These aren't, like, they have evolved now where they have no intention of going home the loser. And even if after the first quarter you feel like you've won this game, Like, second half adjustments are real.
They're sending a message to you and everybody else. Don't mess with us. This is our stuff. If we find it before you pull it inside, it's ours.
And is the porch pirating now like the new adrenaline rush that we've graduated from the ding-dong ditching and now we're running up? Because it's the same sort of adrenaline effect, but now I get to go home with a mystery box prize, right? What's in here?
A gang of girdles. You got 10 girdles.
Oh, I got some dog food.
Yeah, sometimes you go home and you're like, dang it, that's not really what I was hoping for.
But it was fun, wasn't it?
But I did get the adrenaline rush. So
that's like a mystery box. It's like a dine and dash or a beer run plus a mystery box.
Exactly.
You know, you're getting all the good stuff. So I appreciate it, Chief. I can't believe that happened to that poor woman. I don't even know what you do, but you know, everybody's had something stolen, car broken into, something like that, and that feeling of, oh my goodness, I think that would drive me to want revenge. I don't know if those people are going to come back, but I imagine they would. They're marking their territory. This is our neighborhood.
Exactly.
So I think the opportunity to strike back is there, but you got to bring some real. Strength.
Yeah.
You can't be weak.
The porch pirate is clearly, at least in this neck of the woods in Austin, like these guys are alphas, man.
Those are cut different.
Yeah.
Those are porch pirates.
Absolutely.
Okay. When we come back, Nation, it is time for the 4 o'clock hour. Where are we headed? Michael Irvin was asked how many games would Rush have to win to leave him in. We'll tell you what Mike said about that and other stuff next, right here. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.